This study was recorded at Xenos Christian Fellowship. For more presentations like this, visit www.xenos.org or call 800-698-7884.
Let's pray. Lord, we sit here tonight, recipients of your grace in all kinds of different ways. The fact that any of us is even here is grace upon grace. But tonight, Lord, we're celebrating your grace when it comes to the way you grow your church through goofed up people like us. And we just want to take our stand here tonight under your grace, waiving any credit that our flesh might want to steal for ourselves and just give the credit to you. To you be the glory. We pray that tonight, God, that each one of us will hear your voice in a way that really makes a difference in our lives. Amen. All right, well, welcome to the Harvest Bash Part 2. We used to be able to have everyone in the whole fellowship gather together in this room to do this, but we just can't do it anymore. Someone told me a long time ago that one of the ways that you can tell what a group values is by what they celebrate. And around here, one of the things that we celebrate is the planting of new home groups and the raising up of new home group leaders and servant team members. That's because our mission is to be a movement of multiplying home groups. This is the vision that we feel like God gave us a long time ago when the entire fellowship could meet in a ministry house down on campus. I guess it was a long time ago. It doesn't feel like that long. But let's see the hands of the people who actually attended the Bible study at the Fish House on 16th. See? All of us, just a ragtag bunch of kids with lots of problems, met for a Bible study down there on campus, and God gave us a vision to be a movement of multiplying home groups. And from time to time over the last 30-some years, we've gotten off track some on that vision, but he's always been faithful to bring us back to it. Our vision's never been to be the biggest church in town or to have the slickest programs, no duh. Our vision has been that when groups of people who love Christ gather together in groups that are small enough that they can really affect each other, that the power of God is unleashed in that setting in ways that are really incalculable. Because people's lives get changed in a deep and lasting way in the setting of a home group. And lost people who know that they need love and are looking for love sense that love of Christ in a setting like that that they could never sense in a big meeting. And so this is the mission that God has given us. And from that one little Bible study there on campus, we sit here today by the grace of God with 185 home groups. That's home groups, starting with the junior high. And we got some junior high students here tonight. I think we're here to celebrate some planting of some multiplication of junior high home groups. Right on up through high school and college and into the adult ranks. This year, by the grace of God so far, we've seen 36 home groups planted. And home groups, they don't get planted. You know, we don't just have a meeting, a board meeting, and decree into existence new home groups. That's not the way it works. Home groups, really, our new home groups are birthed as the result of God working through a group of people who are willing to lay their lives down to be servant leaders and to pray and to work together. And that's why we're also here tonight, to give thanks to God for the 84 new servant team members that have been recognized so far this year. Now, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to interview all 36 home group plants or all 84 new servant team members tonight. We're only going to get to talk to some of them because the others were recognized last week. But before we do that, I wanted to share just a few brief thoughts with you about being a spiritual influencer. Because the multiplication of home groups requires not just a group of leaders that are willing to lead as servants. It requires lots of people in that home group being what I'm going to call spiritual influencers. It's when God grabs the heart of the majority of a group of people in a home group and opens their eyes to realize that no matter how young in Christ they may be, no matter how many shortcomings or problems they may have, that God is able to work through them to influence other people. When that vision takes hold of a group of people in a home group, amazing things happen. And indeed, in home groups that plant, it's because there's a consensus of people in that group who are spiritual influencers. I've been meeting for the last 3 weeks with a young guy, a college student, who just met Christ a few months ago. And this morning, in his own words, he was telling me what an amazing privilege it was to realize that he was already influencing other people for Christ. He says, "I don't even know what books are in the Bible, but I see God giving me opportunities to influence people for Christ." That is so sweet. So what does it take? How do we become spiritual influencers? That's a big question. And I want to share with you some thoughts from a passage in 1 Timothy, some thoughts that Paul passed along to his apprentice, Timothy, who was young and who was in a tough spiritual situation, some thoughts that he shared with him about how to become a spiritual influencer. Here's what the passage says, and I'm going to read in the NASB, but then I'll also be looking at this passage in the New Living. He says, "Discipline yourself, Timothy, for the purpose of godliness." Godliness is Paul's term here for being spiritually vital. Because if we're spiritually vital, then we influence other people for Christ automatically. "Bodily discipline is only of little profit." A lot of us are glad to hear Paul running down bodily discipline. "But godliness is profitable for all things, because it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." It's for this, Timothy, he says, "that we labor and we strive, because we fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of believers. Let no one look down on your youthfulness." And that's a word especially to those of you who are here as students tonight. Don't let anyone look down on your youthfulness. Timothy was a lot younger than most of the people that he was sent to influence. But he says, "Rather, in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. And until I get there," he said, "give attention to the reading of Scripture and to exhortation and to teaching. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this," here's the great promise, "as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." What an amazing statement. If you will persevere in these things, Paul says, that will ensure your salvation and the salvation of those who hear. What could that mean? He obviously doesn't mean that Timothy would save his soul from hell by persevering in things. That'd be salvation by works. And we really can't save anyone else by our works. But rather, salvation here in this passage is being used to describe spiritual growth or spiritual influence on other people. He's not promising that literally whoever hears Timothy's voice will grow, because we know we've got a part in our own spiritual growth. But he's using the word hear, in the sense that Jesus used it. He who has an ear, let him hear. Those who heed, those who are open to what God wants to say through you, if you'll persevere in these things, then you'll have a powerful spiritual influence on them. What he's saying, in short, if you diligently follow my advice, you will be a spiritual influencer. This is one of the most encouraging passages for me in the whole Bible, as someone who wants to be a spiritual influencer. What is the heart of Paul's advice? Well, I'll share that with you briefly. Of course, only God can influence people spiritually, but God has chosen to influence other people through those who cooperate with Him. Spiritual influence on others is not automatic once you have the Holy Spirit. For some strange reason, God has decided that as we cooperate with Him, then He unleashes His spiritual influence through us to change people. And so there's a part that we have in becoming spiritual influencers, and that's, of course, what this passage is focusing on. Notice he says, now I'm switching to the New Living, spend your time and energy training yourself for spiritual fitness. And again, at the end of the passage, take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to all. What is he saying? He's saying that the single most important ingredient, if we want to be spiritual influencers, is not to look around and to say, how do I compare to other people in my group, you know, on a spiritual plane? I hope that many of us have learned that that's a great way to be pounded by Satan in accusation, or deceived into puffing ourselves up into thinking we're someone that we're not. Now, Paul's saying that the key, our part, the key is simply to ask, am I making progress in my own spiritual life? If you're growing in your walk with Jesus Christ, you are a spiritual influencer. And if you're not growing, if you're stagnant in your own spiritual life, then you are not a spiritual influencer. And so this is great news, because it all comes down to, do I want to keep making progress in my spiritual life? And am I willing to simply follow the influence of God's Spirit to keep doing that? Everyone in this room can walk out of here a spiritual influencer. The only person, the only thing that ever prevents any of us from being spiritual influencers is our own selves. God's utterly committed to us being spiritual influencers. Are you growing in your spiritual life? And he puts he sharpens his focus on this question in a couple of areas for Timothy and for us. He's really asking, in part, are you allowing God to keep making progress in your character? God loves to transform people's characters so that our characters increasingly manifest the character of Jesus. Because when people are around people who really are becoming more like Jesus and they're open at all spiritually, they're drawn to him through us. And so he says, in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. The question is not, have I arrived as a perfect example of Christian behavior? If you answer yes to that, I will guarantee that you're not only not a spiritual influencer, you're a self-righteous fool. And God doesn't want the kind of spiritual influence that you're having on people. The question is, am I allowing the Holy Spirit to take new ground in my character? You know, this is the wonderful thing about walking with Christ. He doesn't just throw you a moral rule book and say, you've got the do-it-yourself manual, now go do it, fix yourself. His Spirit gets personally involved in our lives, and he touches our lives at various points in different parts of our character and through different means, sometimes through a relationship, sometimes through a circumstance, sometimes directly from his word. And he puts his finger on areas of our character and asks us, will you cooperate with me here? And then he usually provides us with some very concrete steps to take. In this passage, he gives us an array of what he's talking about. Is your speech, and he's not talking about teaching here, is the way that you're using your speech, is it more and more being used to build up other people and to give grace to those who hear, Paul says? Are you seeing the Spirit of God diminishing the sarcasm and the cynicism and the negativity in your speech? And allowing him to your speech to be a fountain of blessing to other people. Your conduct, that refers to the way we really live when we're not at Bible studies trying to impress other people. Over the past year, have you seen God lay his finger on this area of your life? Maybe it's your attitude at work toward your boss, or the way that you go at your work. The way that you treat your teachers at school or your other peers there at school. What is God teaching you about the way that you represent Christ in all of these normal and often in our minds non-spiritual areas of life? Are you seeing him making progress in your life there? In your faith, is your faith growing stronger? Is your confidence in Christ deepening? You know the main ways that God makes progress in our faith? Most of you know, by allowing us to go through difficulties. And he challenges us, when you're involved in a trial, choose to give thanks. Choose to affirm that I'm working through this trial to shape your character. And he builds our faith by giving us scary steps of faith to take to serve other people. Is your faith growing over this past year? And purity. This refers to sexual purity. Now we live in a culture that is so broken in the area of sexuality. And a lot of us in this room, all of us to some extent, and a lot of us to a great extent, have been broken by the warped view of sexuality in our culture. God wants to heal you. He wants to give you a healthy and wholesome view of the opposite sex. He wants to liberate you from trying to manipulate and use other people. He wants to free you from your pornography addiction. If you sit here tonight like thousands in this city who are desperately addicted to porn, what is God showing you about this area of your life? What is he putting his finger on? And how are you responding as he touches this area of your life? Are you being honest with him? And are you being honest with the brother or the sister that God's put in your life to help you walk with Christ? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to take new ground in your character? Paul says, if you're allowing him to do that, then you are going to be a spiritual influencer. There's no way around it. And he says to Timothy, if you want to be a spiritual influencer, then make progress in God's word. He says, until I get there, give attention to the reading of Scripture, the reading of Scripture, and to exhortation. That means using the word to build other people up and to teaching or explaining the word to the people that God has put in your life. Spiritual influence comes largely through the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that changes lives. The question here is not, have I memorized the Bible? Am I the best teacher in Xenos or our student group or our home group? That's not the question. The question is, are you more consistently being nourished by God's Word in your own life? Are you reading the word more this year than you were last year? You know, at the beginning of this passage, where I broke in, Paul tells Timothy, remember to be constantly nourished on the words of the faith and the sound doctrine which you've been following. Are you in the Word of God more than a year ago? Do you love feeding from God's word, letting God talk to you through your own Bible reading? Is that something that's grown over the past year? You know, a lot of us have noticed that this, which used to be the hallmark distinctive of Xenos Christian Fellowship in the old days, has fallen into great disrepair among many of us. I remember coming down from upstairs, the old fish house, and here was a new convert, and he was there reading the Bible so voraciously that this ashtray that was over like 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock high from him had butts smashed out on the table around the ashtray because he was so engrossed by what he was reading. And that's an only in Xenos story. He was enthralled by the Word of God. And we need to recover as a church this area right here of loving God's Word and loving reading God's Word for ourselves. Are you making progress there? And are you making progress in explaining and using the Word of God to bless other people? Are you becoming more effective in sharing what God's taught you with others? And I'll tell you what. If you're in God's Word on a regular basis, you'll be amazed how He gives you things to give to other people that same day, that same week. And you'll be getting a fresh supply of revelation from God's Word to hand on to other people. And that is powerful spiritual influence. Did you notice how intensive the verbs in this passage were? Spend your time and your energy in training yourself for this kind of spiritual fitness. It's for this that we labor. And that word means labor to the point of exhaustion. And strive, that's the word agonizomai that we get agonized from. Take pains with these things. Be immersed or absorbed in them. Persevere in them. You see what Paul's saying? If you want to be a spiritual influencer, God is ready and willing and able to make you one, but there's going to be a cost. You've got to make this truly a priority in your life and be willing to expend effort and energy. If you work hard at these things of growing, allowing God to grow your character and allowing God to grow you to be mighty in the Word, then with His help, and it will take His help, nothing can stop you from being a spiritual influencer. And I'll tell you what, when you have a little home group of people, whether it's junior high students or middle-aged adults, and the consensus of people in that group are serious about their own spiritual fitness, you see God multiplying life in that group and through that group. And it's a miracle of God that He wants us to see as a norm, although we never get tired of it. Well, that's what we're here to celebrate tonight. And I believe that the harvest that we're beginning to see now in terms of the increased harvest in terms of multiplying home groups and of people growing as spiritual influencers to the point where they need to be recognized as the spiritual servant leaders as they are, I believe we're on the beginning of a much greater harvest. And it will largely turn on how each and every one of us in this room and last week respond to Paul's challenge here.
This presentation is copyrighted, but you may freely copy and distribute it as long as you keep it intact and do not sell it.